On today's episode of Cool Cars with Chris, we have Courage returning back to the show, better than ever, high demand for this guy, and we're talking about how both of us, ironically, both have failed our driver's license test. Yes, you'll hear that story, plus you'll hear our picks for the three best cars we would choose if we had to fill our personal garage. Let's go. Courage and Chris and Cars is officially the CCC. Check that out. CCC Club.
I'll take it.
In the house. How are you doing today, Courage?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing awesome.
This is fantastic. Our first podcast recording. Are you nervous?
Oh, not too much. Beforehand, it was a little bit, okay, I got to like make sure I'm on my game and talk like a person, but no, I'm feeling good about it.
That's fantastic. So I like cars. You love cars. What guy really doesn't love cars? I don't know. I don't want to know that person. But you know, cars are great. Let me ask you this. What age were you, how old were you when you got your driver's license? Because some people get it older, younger. How old were you?
So I guess you could say my learner's permit, I guess, where you're actually able to drive is you had to be in the car with someone right at 16. It was the goal when I turned 16 to get that. And I can probably say this now because statute of limitation, but my parents let me drive around with it. Like I drove myself to school. Like I went out with my friends and everything. Like my dad drove me to school every once in a while. He drove with me and drove the car back. But that was when I got that, it was like my ticket to kind of start getting behind the wheel more. So I would say like, yeah, around 16 was where I was a citizen driving on the road of the Bay Area.
And you had your driver's license at 16 then?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I had mine too, also at 16, but let me tell you, I did not guess study very well for the test because I failed the written test three times. And then I had to take it a fourth time, come back another day and reschedule and take it a fourth time. So I finally passed it for the permit. And I didn't do a ton of like behind the wheel training. I did some a little bit here and there, but not a lot, I think. And so when it came time to actually do the actual test, I failed that too. I failed my driver's license test. So what got me on the driver's license test, what actually failed me was, I was super nervous. You're 16 years old. Someone's grading you and judging you while you're trying to drive. You're trying to figure out how to use the car and you're trying to figure out, remember all the different rules and what to do and how to do it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Not only that, but there was a section where we were driving down a road. And as you have two lanes, they kind of like merge into one lane. And they have that sign that says this lane's ending, merging to the one to your left.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything. I just kept on cruising straight. And I didn't even like look. I didn't even signal. I didn't even like acknowledge there was a car coming or anything. And so because of that, she failed me.
It was an automatic.
Yeah. Which she says she
I was even, like, as you were saying that, trying to figure out like, yeah, what would be like, what's the rule, I guess? Like we kind of know now, but like, what were they expecting you to do? But it's funny.
I think when it comes to driving, because I've had to do this again for my commercial license and had to do the same kind of deal. But with a commercial license, there's so many more tests you have to do. There's like, if I remember correctly, it's been a while, but I think there was like three different phases before you even get into the truck to do the actual driving test. You know, like pass each phase. And so it kind of goes, it went in stages. And so when I finally got to the driving portion, I was very nervous too. And I think they actually marked me down in the driving portion because I was going too slow. And I was always figuring that slower is better than going too fast because if you're speeding in a truck, that's bad. So I was going a little slower than the speed limit, I guess, maybe. And he kind of marked me down for that.
Yeah.
But I think as you're new, and I remember when I was training to be a driver, they were teaching us, you know, don't speed and, you know, keep control over the weight and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I failed my actual driving, my regular car license.
Well, you'll be glad to hear that I actually failed my first driving test, my physical driving test as well.
Oh, what'd you fail for?
So mine was a no turn on red sign. It was a corner we came up to and I still to this day hold to the fact that it was not a very well placed sign. There was a tree. It was like kind of just angled at this way where like, as like literally as I was inching forward, I saw the sign, but it's just too late at that point to just stop in the intersection. So you just have to go. And I just in the corner of my eye saw like the lady. She was like, because she let us know like there's certain things that like if you do that, that's a mark, but it's not like an automatic fail. But I knew when she started writing that that one was going to be the automatic fail. So my first one was off of a no turn on red sign, basically.
No way.
Yeah. So now I'm like really like particular about when I see those, like, and I get extra frustrated at people that like honk at you at a no turn on red.
Yeah, that's the thing. It says no turn on red. It literally says it right there, no turn on red. But what gets me is the, if somebody's sitting at a green light and I like to give them the honk or whatever, and they get mad about that because they're on their phone. You know, it's still illegal as far as I know to use your phone, like physically be using your phone while you're driving. Right? Yeah. I think it is.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I still claim, and to be, it definitely still is. So for somebody to get mad about you letting them know that they're, one, doing something wrong and holding up traffic is pretty funny. Dude,
but they get so mad though. They get so pissed. Like nobody likes being told what to do.
No.
And nobody likes being told, like, especially if they're doing something wrong and they know they're doing something wrong, but they're mad about something anyways, you know, they're pissed off too. And so, I mean, being out there driving, you see a lot of the crazies. You see a lot of people doing all kinds of crazy things. But the one thing I do see a lot is the cell phone stuff. If you're stuck in traffic, I would almost guarantee that like almost every other car around you in that traffic jam is on their phone, hands on their phone, just looking at their stuff every time. Mm-hmm. And it's the law. But I mean, I don't know how many cops are giving tickets for that stuff. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but maybe people have really evolved. That could be it too. People have evolved to where they know
how kind of split
how to catch cops in their like see a cop and put the phone down or whatever and catch them, that kind of stuff. But there are idiots out there too. Idiots with anything really. too bad. But
I imagine that was probably another byproduct of COVID though too. Is like, you know, if I'm gonna pull somebody over, like it's gonna be for something. Like, you know, if it's a phone thing, like I'm probably not gonna do it. And it's probably gotten to the point where they're letting that slide a lot more than they were in the past. But at the end of the day,
it depends too. I think if you're like stuck in a traffic jam, like on a major freeway and you got like, you know, five lanes across and everyone's stuck and everybody's in traffic, what are they going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unless you happen to be right next to them. Like that's.
Yeah.
That's like the only.
Blatant. You know, I've seen a lot of videos on Instagram. Instagram's kind of my go-to for all of these short-form videos. I see these ones where these guys are taunting cops and all these cop videos or cops are like, you know, arresting people or pulling people over or a lot of the ones where the guys will have the cameras mounted on the car and they'll like do this whole like video where the cop's kind of next to them or following them or whatever. And then they'll rev their engine to kind of taunt the cop and the cop will chase them or whatever. I don't know. Just like it's all content. There was a guy in New York City. I don't know if you remember this, probably a year or two ago that had this whole channel where cops were chasing him. Do you remember, you know what I'm talking about?
Was it the black Corvette, the ghost Corvette?
I don't remember what kind of car it was.
Yeah.
But it was like filmed in the DJI like 360 cam kind of style.
Yeah.
And they were just, cops were chasing him. He was dodging, you know, running out chasing cops or running around chasing or whatever. I thought they eventually caught the guy.
If it was, because it sounds like that, because I think it was, it might have been that guy, because it was, he was just known. It was this whole like lore about like this dude with this just like blacked out. I think it was a Corvette. It might have been something else, but it was, it was a whole lore of this guy, like, you know, where he would hang out and like what were his routes and all of these things. And yeah, that was his whole premise.
Just for content, just for views, for clicks, for whatever. So, yeah. I mean, people do crazy things for clicks and, you know, I mean, cars, I mean, I love cars, dude. And as far as cars go, you were mentioning earlier about if you had to choose a 3-car garage, you had to fill it with 3 separate kind of cars. What kind of cars would they be and why?
Yeah. And particularly, I wanted to kind of limit it to a single brand of cars.
Oh, single. So basically you're saying all Hyundais, all Fords, all Chevys, all Toyotas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I thought it would be an interesting question because it brings in the question of what company has kind of made a decent range of cars that people can pick and build like their ideal garage from. So that was where I was kind of going with that one. I wanted to see if it kind of, I wanted to see what your stance was on that.
Well, I guess it kind of depends. I've kind of been a Ford guy, I guess. I've also been a Nissan guy myself too.
Yeah.
So I've kind of, those are two companies I've really have purchased vehicles from. I've owned vehicles from. I'm trying to think if I owned anything else.
Yeah. Because I have two in mind. So I'd be curious to like what your two, and then obviously what are the three cars in that realm that would fit that, where like one sports car, you know, ideally two-door sports car, one, I say either SUV or truck, you know, maybe you don't need a full-on three-row SUV, but a truck or something that's like heavy duty. And then just like, what would be the daily? Like just I'm getting in to just go grab some groceries and things. Like, what would that be? So I'm curious.
Well, do they all have to be the same brand?
That ideally, yeah. Because I guess you can maybe jump brands if they're like under the same umbrella if you wanted to.
Well,
but.
I mean, I know Fords. I drive a Ford F-150 pickup, mm-hmm. and I know the Ford lineup fairly well. So I guess staying with Ford by itself, shout out Ford, possibly a sponsor, maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways,
Ford. Jim Farley's a cool guy, so he might actually do something like that.
Yeah, I got him a speed dial. Let me call him up real quick. Hang on. Yeah. No, but I guess the thing with the lineup, I guess, I've always loved the Shelby Mustangs, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big Shelby guy. I've been to the Shelby place in Vegas a few times.
Oh, nice.
Have you been there, the one in Vegas?
I haven't, no.
Oh, mm-hmm. gosh. They have a museum, and they have all the cars from the races, and they've got... Like a museum, we go in there and see all the cars, like a car show. And then you go behind, they have a tour where you actually see them building all the performance stuff.
Oh, wow.
On the cars in the back. We went back there too. They not just cars, but they do trucks too, of course.
Yeah.
And Broncos and all that, I'm sure now too. But I would say, gosh, I mean, I love the problem with the garage though. I found this out having a lifted truck is that trucks barely fit in the garage.
They won't get in the garage.
I know this firsthand because my other truck which was an F-150 crew cab. It was, I called it the silver bullet because it was, they called it the chrome and tow package. It was all chromed out with chrome rims and grill and chrome, all that. It was all tow for towing and stuff, but it wasn't lifted or anything. It had like the normal two-wheel drive. And mm-hmm. so it barely fit in my garage in my old house. In fact, it barely fit. I had to get the thing within 3 inches of the back wall to get the door to close.
To be able to close
on the bumper. Yeah. And I had this whole like system. I got this like radar system thing I bought at Home Depot, like that went in your garage. It helped you like stop, like if you got close enough kind of a thing. And there's a lot of times I kind of hit the wall, but whatever. Didn't get too bad. But anyways, mm-hmm. that thing barely fit and barely fit by the height. I actually had to get a smaller like antenna because the antenna was getting clipping the ceiling and stuff.
Top. Yeah.
So I had to get one of those smaller, nubbier like antennas for the thing. So that's for the F-150, which it can fit barely.
Yeah.
Now that is a great truck. I mean, it is great because what I love about my Ford F-150, and what I love about the other one too, was that if you've been in other like crew cab full-size trucks, they all kind of are similar, but a lot of them are all kind of different. They all have their quirks and they're a little different. Mm-hmm. The one with the F-150 is that it's been a big seller for so many years. Very popular truck. People love it or they hate it, whatever. It's never perfect. In fact, my other F-150 did need a whole new engine replaced, which was covered under warranty.
Fine. Oh, wow. During warranty.
Jeez. Yeah. It was about 40,000 miles. Wow. It kept blowing oil. Oil kept disappearing or whatever. And then so they did a microscopic check and they said the oil was going through the piston rings, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So they got a whole new block or whatever. Ford took care of it. But that being said, that's fine. But the one thing I do love about the F-150, the crew cab anyways, is that in the back section, the back seats in the very back where you sit, they fold up and out of the way. And the back seat area is completely flat. If you look at the other trucks, the Chevys, the Toyotas, the whatever, I think Nissan or... And look at all the other companies' full-size trucks like that. Their back seat section has got that hump for the differential that kind of like divides between the two passengers in the back seat. There's a hump in the middle. But F-150, the Ford, people at Ford have figured out a way that they've kind of redesigned the frame so that it's flat like a cargo van back there, completely flat all the way across. And I absolutely love that because when the seats go up, it's completely flat. It's like an entire like cargo section in the back seat back there, which you can stack boxes, totes, whatever you want, lay it flat, slide it across. It's great for that kind of stuff. Now, as far as like my sports car, I guess I'm sticking with Ford, probably Mustang, Shelby, or even the Shelby GT350.
That's a good one.
Those, yeah. I love those ones too. Or even a really nicely equipped like 5.0 or like maybe Roush makes ones too. Speaking of Roush, my truck is a Roush. So yeah. Roush Mustang 5.0. Those are great.
You go later gen versus like kind of some of the elders. It doesn't have to be super specific, but like just, yeah, like do you feel like you'd be more on like the later gen cap Mustangs versus like the, you know, say pre 2005, like redesigned ones, like the 90s, anything of that sort?
Like are you talking like Fox Body now?
Fox Body or like the Cobe, like the, was it, I can't remember them by like SN, whatever they were, but the one after that, which was more of like the bubbly shaped, like,
yeah, you know, Cobra. Yeah, like the nose looked like a bullet, like in front of a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that model when it came out, and I like the one right after that. It was, kind of took that same design and like chiseled it out a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of like that design. That was one of my favorites when it came out. And then, of course, when the 05 Mustang came out, it had that like iconic flashback design. And that's when the retro design happened with the Camaro and with the Challenger. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a big thing back in the mid 2000s, was like super popular. And so I kind of dug that too. I really liked that whole thing too. And then, but like the thing it got for me was that, like when the Nissan Z came out, the 350Z came out, and even the 370 came out, it was like pushing horsepower numbers that were doing better than the V8 Mustang.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, I got a V6. It's pushing out better numbers than a V8 Mustang, than a V8. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So, but sticking with Ford, I would say probably something newer, I would say, just because I like the 5.0 platform, the new 5.0. Because I have the 5.0 in my truck, so I'm familiar with the platform. So the new 5.0 would probably be anything, probably 2012, 13-ish. Well, the new design 2015. Yeah. So let's just say the new design. But they, now 20, they have a newer design now. Now that they have a brand new one that just came out. New design. I keep, you know. But
anything in that realm of kind of that like later 5.0, like 2015 and up, that's kind of the camp of it.
Yeah, those 5.0 engines, I've watched a YouTuber on it recently, and they were talking about like it's one of the best V8s you can buy. It's most reliable. It's got tons of potential. Like people are swearing they can get 1,000 horsepower of that thing.
Yeah.
Turbos and whatever. But that it's built very well. It's gets lots of power for considerably how small it's a V8. It's 5.0, but compared to like Chevy's, you know, 5.3 or whatever, it gets fairly good power. Or Dodge's
and they're six twos. Like,
yeah, those are just monsters.
Yeah.
But it does fairly well for what it is. And it's supposed to be fairly reliable, knock on wood. But I mean, as far as the SUV goes, I mean, I like the Bronco. I wanted a Bronco. Broncos are big too. They barely fit in the garage if you get like a Raptor version.
Yeah, if you get a Raptor, that's pretty tough.
Dude, I saw like four of them like last week, four Raptors. I saw one today, a Raptor Bronco driving down the neighborhood. Really? I thought they were like unicorns, but now I'm seeing them a lot. When they first came out, I was looking about online for Raptor Broncos, and they were like 30, 50 grand over sticker price.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but
people love those though. They love the Raptor just with the F-150, and they, you know, I mean, still older first gen Raptors are still like holding some pretty solid values.
I was looking them up. I was looking for those. Yeah. They're like, even gen ones are like, I mean, it depends on the mileage. It depends on the year and mileage. I mean, even one with a lot of miles is still going to get you like 20 grand probably.
Yeah. You would think at this point that you could probably get one of those floating around the tens or something, but like people love those, and they've just kept it going with the, you know, with the Bronco Raptor. And I even saw a Ranger Raptor.
Yes. Me too.
Out in Vegas. Yeah. So they just got too. That ticket. Yeah. Just throw Raptor on it and do some things. And
but they do more than just throw the
name. Yeah, that's true.
The full on suspension is upgraded, and they really put some engineering into those Raptors, especially like the Bronco. And I heard that the Bronco Raptor, it's actually just as wide as the full size F-150 Raptor, like wheel to wheel.
Okay.
So if you took them side by side, so far as like parking goes, like that's the thing, my truck, it's kind of wide with the tires and everything. So I know like parking is an issue when you drive anything big like that. And I can like imagine, you know, especially in the city. So, but that's kind of like, I love the rear wheel drive, power, performance, fun kind of cars. I mean, there's a place for minivans. There's a place for like you know, sedans and things like that. And I get that or whatever.
Yeah.
EVs or hybrids or whatever. And I get that. I mean, I guess I would if I was like an Uber driver maybe or something. Or if I had to commute forever in a day to work every day or something, or maybe if I hated cars, I guess.
If I just hated life and I was like, I just need something to get me somewhere. I think those are solid choices though. I think we talked about this before too, is I feel like we kind of represent some slightly different camps on car choices, which is not a bad thing at all. Like I think all in all, like I think that's how I like meeting people is, you know, we might have a difference in maybe what we gravitate to, but at the end of the day, we got a common interest in cars. And I feel like we're maybe on that side of things where, you know, I'm maybe a little bit more on the smaller, like, you know, not EVs, but, you know, the smaller, the four cylinder V6, you know, cars, you know, all wheel drive, maybe front wheel drive. I do love rear wheel drive cars. So I don't want to say that I don't enjoy those. I love rear wheel drive cars, but I also kind of drift to that camp of front wheel drive because it's been pretty interesting what they've been able to do with those small displacement 2 liter, 2.5 liter turbo cars over the last, you know, decade or so, just the amount of power and amount of handling they can pull out of those. But yeah, I think it's always cool to kind of have folks, they have kind of slightly different camps on the cars that they gravitate to.
So what is your three?
Yeah, no, I mean, mine really, funny enough, it would be a kind of camp between Nissan and Infiniti, to be totally honest.
It's the same thing, so.
Yeah, and I decided to just, you know, be true to the topic, and if I chose one, stick with it, but Infiniti would probably be my one, my brand. And in terms of cars, I would choose my two-door or my fun sports car would actually be the G37S particularly.
Okay. That's the same as the 370, right?
So same as the 370. They did make a special version that I think was either a 1 or 2 year option though. And it was an IPL version. It came in like this purple kind of iridescent color, and it actually had some power upgrades that were a little bit over the stock, like the stock G37s and the 370. And so those, they're kind of unicorns because you can never find them, even though coincidentally, the guy that works across the street at the bank that's right across the street from my house has one. But outside of that, I like never see him. And so they made it in a 6-speed manual, and they made a convertible version too. So that would be my choice as like the 2-door fun sports car, because I just feel like it would have that unique story, kind of unicorn like, and those things move. I mean, you had a 370, so you know, but they're fun cars. They're quick cars, and they're also comfortable cars that you can see yourself driving a lot in.
The Infiniti version is like the plush version of the Z. So the Z was harsh and it was tight, and the suspension was tight, and it was low, you know, like practically sit your butt on the ground like just to get in there, and all of that. Where I'm imagining the Infiniti version is more like a sedan car,
a little bit plushier for sure. But yeah, that'll be the 2-door car for me. The daily, weirdly enough, would still be an SUV, even though I was toying between this because this is kind of twofold. They had the Q70, which they actually called the Q56 at a certain point before Infiniti kind of lost their mind and went in different directions with naming and all that. But the QX56 was basically that sort of, it was the SUV crossover that they had. But they put the big like Armada like V8 in it.
The 5.6?
Yeah. Yeah. So they had a and this was actually the sedan version they had. I'm forgetting it now. I'm blanking on it. But they had a sedan version that had that 5.6 liter V8 in it. And I drove one of those a few years ago, and that thing was just absolutely ridiculous. Like they had like 430 horsepower.
But it's not like really long drive. Like a Suburban, right? No. The Suburbans are just like that, but they're like very long, like a bus.
No, they're actually pretty short wheelbase.
Like a Tahoe, I guess.
I would say even shorter than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the QXs were, they were on this, they had basically the same underpinnings as like the Z and the 370 and all of those. But they just had the SUV body over it. And so that's like unicorn too. I like never ever see those. Like the later gen with the 5 liter V8 that they actually switched to, they only made that V8 for that car. and it was an SUV. It had paddle shifters and things like
that. Paddle shifters and an SUV like that.
Paddle shifters, yeah. It had down. They had the downshift rev matching and everything. Wow. I gotta show you a picture because I think when you see it, you'll realize like these are actually a little smaller than than you expect. But well,
the one I think of when you say that, what I think of is the Nissan had the Murano, and then Infiniti had like a version of the Murano, which kind of like Murano, but it was like Infiniti version of it.
Oh, that was different. Yeah, that was because, yeah, the Murano was, yeah, kind of that weird, like that. Those were a little bit different, but it was about the same size as that, though.
It was
kind of the same size as like the Murano, but it had a big V8 in it and it was all wheel drive. So
interesting. You know,
it was back when Nissan was kind of just willing to take some risks and do some things.
Nissan was really killing it. That's the year I had my Nissan Frontier, bought it 2005. Brand new, and I specifically told the dealership I want it to be single. I want to be crew cab or king cab, stick shift, and the big V6.
Yeah,
and so that's what I got. And oh, I lost you there. Yeah. But with Nissan, I remember there were some years like during that whole like mid 2000s where I think that Nissan was really killing it, and that's when I bought my truck and I wanted the Z was doing great. Nissan had some great years. A lot of great cars came out. They changed the Maxima. They had the new Frontier. They had a new Titan truck was killing it. And which is a complete total gas hog, by the way, if you get those Titans. Ones back then. I was looking at, the funny thing is before I bought my F-150, I was looking at Titans back then. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, these Titans are getting horrible gas mileage. I look at the numbers compared to anything else. Like they're horrible gas mileage.
Yeah.
And everybody's got them. I guess everybody loves them. I don't know. But now Nissan, I don't know.
It's a weird, both Nissan and Infiniti. It's a weird place that they're in right now. But they had a heyday really between that like early 2000s to like mid 2015s timeframe, where they were willing to do stuff and they were actually kind of hitting the mark on a lot of different things, you know? And yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to send you a picture though, because that's why that kind of happened. I looked over to see if I can find a picture of these, but like the design of these were always like so quirky back then, like the FX50 and I had an FX45, which was the first generation. And then they switched it to the Q70 where they had a V8 version, but they didn't designate it differently as the V6 version that still had the same V6 as the Z did. But then that's just when they went off the rails and they stopped making the V8 version after like 2 years. And they stopped in that crossover segment really at the time where they should have kept going. Cause that was the time when the Urus came out and the Cayenne really continued to be popular throughout that. And like everybody had a kind of smaller crossover SUV, but then Infiniti said, yeah, we're done with this segment. We're just going to do other things. And right. I just don't know why.
It's funny, like, you know, you drive a Hyundai, and Hyundai, I think they've got like how many SUVs in their lineup?
They have a lot. Yeah.
It's like how many, it's easier to point out how many cars they have than SUVs they have. I mean, I think it's all SUVs and cars. Well, they had a truck. They had that one truck they have. It's like an SUV truck thing with like Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I saw that. It's supposed to be the competitor to the Ford Maverick, which is like a front-wheel drive.
I never really even put those together, actually, but that's a good point.
Well, it is the straight competitor. They're front-wheel drive, quote, trucks. Trucks are supposed to be rear-wheel drive, but they're front-wheel drive trucks, both of them, designed to get around town for like, you know, grocery getter, can park in downtown, that kind
light
of stuff.
Light little hauling here and there, like hauling in the bed if you want to.
Throw a bicycle back there or whatever. Maybe that's about it. Kind of a thing, but you know, I mean, Hyundai, you know, they've got a lot of cool SUVs, and I think they really doubled down. I think Kia too, same company, but they doubled down a lot of the SUV lineup because they realized sometime around the mid 2000s, I'm guessing, maybe even earlier, everybody started switching to SUVs. Like minivans are out the door, and nobody wants those, and it's all SUV everything, and then they're like, well, we'll just make a bunch of different front-wheel drive SUVs, different, like probably keep the same frame and same chassis for like a bunch of them. They'll carry over, and they're just slap on a different body on them with different, you know, bells and whistles or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean that's honestly what Nissan was doing before. They gotten that down of kind of coming up with like a base frame and just building off of that, just building a couple of different models off of that. And yeah, Hyundai's definitely, they leaned into that as well. And I heard something that they're planning to kind of start doing like a body on frame truck at some point. Yeah,
an SUV version of it too.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be pretty cool.
I don't see why not. I mean, might as well, I guess. If you can, you can. But so you're sticking with Infiniti. What would be the truck? So, would it be the Ford, would it be the Nissan Frontier, or would it be the Titan?
So I would end up, so that's why I kind of pose this as either truck or SUV.
Okay.
With my kind of situation, I want that third row. And so I would probably actually lean more on the SUV kind of lane on that. But you know about the QX80s, right? The basically the Armada, the Infiniti version of that. Those things are like, they're bulletproof. They got a big old V8 like with 400 horsepower. They're all-wheel drive, and like the limited models actually have like locking diffs and some other things too. So you can actually kind of take that on some light, you know, the ground clearance isn't really there, but you can take it off-roading a little bit and get to some, you know, kind of challenging spaces. And they're cheap. They like, I mean, you can find like 2015, 2016 QX80s for probably like in the like high tens, like, you know, getting close. Like if you want a really nice one, you can probably pay about 20 or 25, but you can find some pretty well-kept ones, maybe like higher mileage because people drive them a lot.
Road trips, I'm assuming, you know.
A lot of like highway miles for sure.
Right.
But you can find them for really decent prices, and they're going to run forever. Like that, though, similar to like kind of the four V8s and the 5-liter and everything, Nissan's been using those V8s for so long. And they're in like the Nissan Patrol, which, I mean, people use those out in like these crazy remote places to go to all these like different, you know, those engines have to be reliable. And so that to me is like the perfect, like I need this to like haul people around in, maybe go off road and occasionally and not just like break the bank and need like a huge 6-figure SUV. That would be my choice for sure. Like, if I needed a truck, I'd probably have to break the rule and probably go like, you know, say a Tundra or something.
Even the Tacomas are expensive too. Like I was looking at Tacomas, there's a Tacoma set at Costco last weekend. They have them on display sometimes. And it was like a 4-wheel drive crew cab. I mean, nothing crazy fancy. I think I don't know their model lineup, but it seemed like a middle of the road model lineup version. And I think it was still like 55 grand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that wasn't even their full size. We're talking the mid-size truck here. And, I mean, they do hold their value, though. If you try to find a used Toyota Tacoma or a used Toyota pickup truck, they usually are pretty high, even with high mileage. Dude, I saw one, I could swear, I saw one that was like early 90s Toyota pickup truck, and it had like 280,000 miles. The guy still wants $5,000 for it.
Well, yeah.
You know, like... Like
you're getting to the point where you're at least probably going to have to do a pretty big rebuild on that. Like,
well, I don't know. They say those motors run forever.
That's
true. Every praises those engines for running forever. And I always kind of wondered if there's any kind of like conspiracy theory about how car manufacturers like time when engines fail so that they can have you buy another one.
German cars. I'll just say that.
Those are just like electronics and turn signals and sensors galore.
Yeah.
They say never buy a BMW with over like 60,000 or never buy one with 100,000 on it.
Yeah. Unless you're really into that kind of thing. Like,
well,
I mean, I know
your wallet's
going to
be into it too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to really be invested in it. Cause I mean, I know guys like with the, you know, like the E39 BMW M5s, like that's like kind of one of the like poster cars for a lot of people, but like the sedan, the M5 of that generation.
Right.
And I know some guys, with like 100, you know, close to 200,000 miles on those. But they have put a lot of money, sweat and tears into keeping that car on the road just because they love it. Like they're invested in it. Yeah. But if it's like, if you even have a semblance of like, I don't want to be spending every dime I have on my car, then don't do it.
I knew a guy I work with who bought a used BMW, and it was an M. It was an M package. It wasn't even like the M version. It was like an M badge one or something they did. I don't know. Yeah. So basically, it like had like an M appearance, but it wasn't an M. But it was like a 5 series. And so he got it. He thought it was great. Loved it. But I'm like, "Where's your car at? Oh, it's in the shop. Where's your car at? Oh, it's in the shop. Where's your car at? It's in the shop." Really? Yeah. Eventually, I think he got rid of the thing, and then he traded it. He was complaining so much, I think he got rid of the thing. But at first, he's all excited. It was a used BMW with about like 30,000 miles on it or whatever, maybe more than that. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's what I hear about used BMWs is, or Mercedes probably the same problem too, is that, you know, these German cars are, I mean, so many technology, so, you add so much technology to a car. There's so many little things that, you know, can go wrong and more things to break and more issues you're going to have. And I used to watch some YouTube car guys that were complaining about those different cars, you know. They say, never buy a used Porsche, never buy a used BMW, never buy a used, you know, Mercedes, never buy a used Audi. Yeah. Any of those things.
I feel like it's, yeah, like you said, there's definitely some ones to steer away from if it's like, if you're looking for some level of reliability. You know, I feel like sometimes as like when you're, again, when you're really into certain cars, it, you know, again, if you know that it's going to be a project and you're willing to take that on and honestly, if you know somebody that can really help you through it, like that, I wouldn't shy people away from it. Like, I mean, I would love to have like an E35 or what do you call it? The
AMG?
I mean, all the C63s, like the E63 wagon, like, you know, all those AMGs, like they take the cake for a lot of things. But, you know, I just have to kind of go, if I were to ever go down that road, it would just, you would have to know that this isn't going to be easy.
Like, it's not going to be your daily driver either, too. I mean, yeah. That's the thing. I think most people who buy that, say, buy like a second or third hand, you know, BMW, for example, mm-hmm. you know, it's got maybe 50 to 80,000 miles on it, and they pick it up for 10 grand. And they're like, I got a BMW for 10 grand. Yeah. It's been, you know, check this out, ladies. I got a BMW. Yeah. And then you're like pushing it. You know,
but, yeah.
Or whatever, you know, something happens or whatever. And I think that's the thing is that, because my son was looking at cars, he's in the age where he's looking to buy his first car, and he's looking at cars and he's looking at BMWs. He's like, oh, these are like 10 grand. Wow. Yeah. But there's a reason.
There's a reason. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of why I lean towards that Nissan camp. But just, you know, I know that those three would be, you know, if you got them in the right, you know, the right state, obviously, you'd be in some decent reliability. It wouldn't cost you that much. I mean, that would be like a, you know, probably 40 grand, you know, option to say to go out. If you were to buy like nice versions of those three cars, like you could probably do that for under 40 grand, like, which is crazy to think that like you can barely buy a new car for 40 grand these days.
Right. At least something decent. I mean, most cars are,
my car was 40. Like,
oh, yeah, was it?
Pretty much out the door. The end was 40, like, you know, with taxes and everything. And so
that's not,
you know,
bad. That's not, well, I mean, I thought they're like, well, yeah, because I think with taxes and everything, they're like in the 30s. I think you're in the 30s. Because
it was 36.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Like 36 MSRP when I was looking at it. And yeah, out the door. Yeah. It was like, right. And so, I mean, for, you know, that's for like a fun car, but still like does a lot of things.
That's
like,
it. That's it. Your car is literally like, it's the ultimate grocery getter, you know?
I mean, I can still take it to the track.
Yes, you can do all that stuff. You can't really do that with like a two-door, like a, you know, Porsche or something like that. I mean,
maybe a Cayenne or a Macan, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's why they made those kind of cars for those kind of things. And the, like my Z, like I remember going to Costco, my Z, and I'd be shopping around Costco and have my Z in the parking lot. I realized, oh crap, I can't buy all this stuff. Yeah,
there's certain things I can't buy.
Because I know, like, how am I going to fit this in the car? How am I going to fit that in the car? You know, I mean, as long as if it's just by myself, I can use the passenger seat to put stuff on and in the back and stuff like that. But in my Z, it had a, from the previous owner, they put a sound system into my Z. So it had like a speaker box in the back of the car, like a subwoofer in the back. So it took up a good chunk of
that. Just took away everything.
It took not all, but took a good chunk of the space, got taken up. Yeah. And which is fine, whatever. But the, when you go to Costco and buy stuff and things of that sort. So it is tricky. You have to really know your use case when you buy a car. And I think having a car that can kind of fit multiple purposes, like your car, that you can drive it fun, stick shift, you know, throw the gears around and you can really race it and do fun stuff. Yet at the same time, you can go to Costco, go on a road trip, you know, do whatever you got to do. And it kind of, you know, fits both worlds, I guess. And I think it's kind of cool that it does that.
Yeah, there's not a lot that really kind of do that well, and I mean, just crazy to think that Hyundai is the culprit to pulling that together. But yeah, I mean, I will say though, on a Costco run, there are limits in terms. If we're getting paper towels, like toilet paper and another big boxed situation, that's usually the limit of where we're like, okay, like anything else needs to be small items. Like there's a certain SUVs where you could just throw all of that stuff in there and you
not even
good,
worry about it. But you know, even I've thrown stuff in the back of my truck. I don't like doing it, but I've obviously water bottles, not a problem, but like,
yeah.
But I'm almost kind of like debating whether or not if I get one of those like covers that go over the top of the bed, not the one that goes like a shell, but there's this one, I think it's like a tonneau cover.
They're just a tonneau cover. Yeah.
It kind of goes over the back to where you kind of have the almost like a trunk space in the back there. I even thought about that or whatever. I thought about doing a lot of things. I thought about getting a shell a long time ago with my other truck. And I thought I'd do, I always think it's other stuff, but the first thing I did get for my truck was I got a bed cover, a bed liner for it because the new Ford F-150s are made out of aluminum. And the beds are made out of aluminum too. And so I'm imagining that if you drop anything big in there, it would just go right through or put a hole in there or maybe, you know, dents or whatever. So I did get a cover for, I mean, I did get a bed liner the first thing I got on that truck and haven't really hauled anything heavy in the back. Now I think about it. It's like about my truck. But I mean, it is what it is. They say a lot of people buy like off-road Raptors and things like that, like just take them to the store and back, you know, I mean, through the Starbucks drive-thru. That's it.
I saw something recently just on that note of this guy was like, he was in his, and it could like, I mean, everybody says like things on social media or stage, but this had to be real. Was he was behind this, this Jeep. It's like a Jeep Wrangler. And he's in a Gallardo, like the 08, like Gallardo. And he's got one of those 360 cams on the back, but they're at a light and this Jeep's like kind of waiting and not going. And you can see on the side, like there's construction signs. And it's one of those like intersections where they were repaving. So they had taken out like a good chunk of the pavement. And it's like a little bit of dirt, but you had to kind of travel over the dirt to get to the other side of the intersection. And it is paved again. And dude in the Jeep is like waiting there. And like the guy in the Lamborghini is kind of waiting, like, what's going on here? And he backs up and the dude in the Jeep turns around and goes the other way because of the construction that's going on. And this guy in the Lamborghini was just ready to just blaze through this in his like lowered Lamborghini. And you're in your lifted Jeep Wrangler and you're not going to go over this like small little indent in the road over here just because it's going to get your Jeep dirty. Like, I feel like a lot of times that ends up kind of being the folks that get them. Like, not to say anything bad about them, but, you know, they're not really putting it to use is what.
Yeah. I mean, honest to God, like my truck's four-wheel drive and I think I've taken it four-wheel drive twice.
Yeah.
You know,
that's more than that's twice more than probably a lot of folks that are getting new Jeeps now.
Yeah. You know, and I did it the first time. It felt weird though. Let me tell you, the first time we did it, we put it in, it was like this one little area for a wedding we were working at and it had like, it was colder time of year, kind of muddy a little bit, not muddy, but kind of dirt. And so it was down this little trail path area inside this farm area, I guess. And I like climbed back up to the main road. And I'm like, this is kind of like a lot of, not say mud, but I guess it was kind of mud. I'm like, let me just see if I can put this thing in four-wheel drive, see what it does. I put it in the low four-wheel drive. There's a four-wheel drive high and there's four-wheel drive low, which you have to be locked, flat, you have to put it in neutral, I think, or something. And you lock it and it does this. You hear it move like it's got a transformer under the truck. You hear it make these gears like move or whatever.
Oh,
and
then
and when you go, it's all the torque, all the power pushing it to all the wheels at the same time. And but it's really low. It's like for crawling over rocks and like hills and stuff. And so I'm doing that and the whole thing feels like it's grabbing at all different weird angles and stuff as I'm trying to like steer up the little hill or whatever. And it was probably overkill. I probably didn't need that, but I wanted to see what I could do. I mean, because I never get to use four-wheel drive. So I was like, I'm going to use it this time, you know?
And, use the excuse, yeah.
Yeah, so then you had to like stop it, put it back in park before you can like undo the lockers or whatever. But four-wheel drive high, I guess you can flip it on at any speed and it will just flip on or whatever. And it works too. And I've done that like in the rain and stuff. But that's pretty much all my four-wheel driving I've done.
Yeah.
My truck. For the most part, you know, and it does have a rear differential lock too. So I can lock the whole thing or whatever. I haven't messed with that too much either. There's a lot of things, a lot of gadgets on my truck that I haven't really like messed with really, you know, they're nice features to have. Like I've got a safe in my truck in the center console, like a full on safe with a code and everything.
Yeah.
Metal safe.
Never use it.
Well, I think I put, you know, when you go to the dealership and they give you all the paperwork, I think the paperwork for the dealership is in there. Yeah. That's about it.
Like, I know that's safe in there.
Well, I don't, I mean, I guess I had a tons of cash or something or whatever, valuables or jewels or whatever. You could throw it in the safe there and lock it up.
If you were in Texas, you could use it for
a gun safe. Yeah, it's a total gun safe. Is what it, guns, drugs. It's exactly what it's for, but I don't really use it. It takes up the entire console. Like the console, it's called a console vault, and it's built into the center console. So the top console comes up about 2 inches or whatever, and the safe's right there. So you have a little bit of space above the console, but we open the little top lid where your armrest is at, open that up, and that's where the console vault is at. And it's got the safe and the standard, you know, 4-digit code or whatever it is. You click and turn, it's like a locker combination thing. And inside there, you can put whatever you want.
Yeah. No, that's what they kind of had an idea in mind of who they were marketing for having that, but you found a different use for it, which is good.
I don't really use it for anything. It's through whatever junk paperwork they gave me. I threw it in there, and that's where it's been ever since I bought the truck. But I thought it was kind of a cool thing. But that was a cool thing. The reason I bought my truck was that. Another cool thing I really got sold on was the fact that I have a complete and total sunroof, moonroof from back to front.
A lot of cars aren't doing like any form of sunroof now. I've started to notice, like, which is kind of a point to that is I've noticed like they'll do a glass roof or something of that sort. But like sunroofs are really becoming just kind of a thing of the past for a lot of cars.
Well, it's a glass. I have the skylight sunroof that moves back, but then I have the cover that moves back and opens up because literally it's
open air. Like
I can do that. And I can do the entire like glass roof thing too, which is kind of cool during like rainy days, but not so much during sunny days. And I rarely use it.
Yeah.
I all these little gadgets are they're cool at first when you first get the car. Oh, this is so cool. It does this, does that. But like after a while, I'm like, that was fun.
You find the things that you really use a lot, and then you have the other things that are just like the one chance where you might have a chance to use it kind of thing.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, like the four-wheel drive, for example, like I use it once and then like, if I need it, I have it. I can tow stuff with my truck. Great. I've towed like once with my truck, really. That's only, I know a lot of people buy trucks like mine and they literally go to Starbucks and back with them, and that's it.
Yeah,
and that's all they really. But they have them. I look at it as an option. You may not need it today, but there's a day where you're going to wish you had that feature. And I know people say, "Oh, people like features. You buy a car has all the features, but if you don't use them, you don't use them." But I've come from having like a Ford Ranger with like literally nothing horsepower, and trying to haul anything with that thing. I'm like, gosh, I wish I had a bigger engine. I wish I had a bigger engine. I wish I had a bigger truck. I wish I had this. It's kind of like going from that into something where you could, if you had to tow something, I can.
Yeah.
Or haul something, you can. It's all about options. And I encourage, I know we're getting late here and I know you got, stuff to do, and I appreciate you, stopping by today and talking shop and your three cars you want for your cool garage.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is fun.
This is fantastic. So until next time, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you later.